From Pioneer 90.1 in Thief River Falls, this is Scrapbook, a collaborative project with Northwest Minnesota Historical Societies to share their county's history and promote awareness of the many fascinating places and things their counties have to offer. Scrapbook is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Here's host Glenn Broggett and his special guest on this edition of Scrapbook.
Greetings and welcome once again to Scrapbook. I'm Glenn Broggett. On this edition, we begin our look at Marshall County in northwest Minnesota, and today we are going to learn about the Marshall County Historical Society with our guest, the former director of the Marshall County Historical Society, Mike Johnson. Let's hear from Mike today on this edition of Scrapbook. Okay, Mike, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, some background, and your connection with the Historical Society?
I'm the outgoing director of the Historical Society. We're in the process of changing and hiring a new staff person to oversee the museum here. I've been involved with the museum as a director for the past 5 years, and prior to that I was a board member. The museum itself here is a county museum, established in 1933, and it's got a long history of support from the public, and we've enjoyed a lot of their donations and support for the local history of the county.
Can we talk about the museum and the Settler Square itself?
The Historical Society on our present ground is now called Settler Square. We started back in, I believe, the late 50s when we moved in the Alma Church, and that was the beginning of the start of Settler Square. Settler Square itself is basically a reenactment or recreation of a 1880s, 1890s community from one of the local prairie towns here of Warren. In our Settler Square, we have the Soo Line Depot, we have the Alma Church, we have the Old Rural Cook School, which is from the late 1880s, which was just north of Warren. We also have three log cabins. One of them is called the Laundreville Cabin. The Laundreville Cabin was located just west of Argyle, Minnesota. That family raised 17 children in that cabin. Along with that, we have a couple other rural log cabins that we have set up, along with a cook car. And a cook car is something that was used during the harvest days back in the early 1880s, 1890s, into the 1900s, when the farmers used horses as their primary source of harvesting, and they had to feed all the workers, so it was quite an operation. So we have one of the cook cars, which was from the March Farms. Part of our building, we have a storefront community. We have a barber shop, we have a millinery store, we also have a photography studio, we have a local newspaper office, we have a saloon, and we have a hotel storefront. And along with that, we also have a bank and a lawyer's office.
What sort of events do you guys have over the summer?
Typically, we've been opening Memorial Day, and we operate through Labor Day. We are open in the off-season as well for special engagements. Typically, Memorial Day is our kickoff. Throughout the summer, we'll have some special programs. Each month, June, July, and August, we specify one day as Children's Day. And what we do is we will provide some reenactments, and we'll bring the kids back in time, and we'll have them doing a variety of things, such as shearing sheep or making homemade ice cream or playing the games of the time. And we have some board members that actually will dress up in costume. It's a lot of fun. They enjoy it.
Now, aside from the Settler Square, there's some other great pieces here at the museum, one of which that has gotten and drawn national attention. And I want to talk a little bit about, have you talk about this item, the UFO car. Now, I've seen on the Travel Channel a special, a little segment on this. This has got to be one of the more fascinating items that draw people in, as well as a lot of the great stuff on the grounds.
The UFO incident occurred back in 1979. Since that time, the car has been in our possession, so it's been kept in its original condition. The UFO car itself, each year we have people that come from internationally as well as nationally to look at the car and read the stories, read some of the history on the incident. So as you mentioned, the Travel Channel was here last fall and did a story for a program called Mysteries in the Museum. That one was aired Thanksgiving Day of 2012. We had a lot of contacts after the program aired.
Let's talk about some of the other vehicles that you have through the history of Marshall County that are on the grounds.
In our new building, which we built in, or actually opened in 2011, we have a few of some of the classic cars. We have, again, the UFO car. We also have a period ambulance from the early 1970s from the Warren Ambulance Service. We have an early Dodge truck from Dahlman Trucking and Transport and Gravel. We also have a 1912 Maxwell. It's a very rare car that was just recently donated to the museum.
You've also started something that not too long ago here that involves the armed forces. Let's talk about the Military Relic Museum and how that got started and what can a person expect to see when they come in and check it out.
The military exhibit, when we built our building, we designated one of the areas we wanted to concentrate on was a military exhibit. And at the time, the Oslo War Relics Museum in Oslo was in the process of disbanding, and they were looking for a location for it. So we, in our planning process, we decided that they were willing to relocate that museum here, and we've done that. Along with the relics and the artifacts that we already had on hand, we've incorporated the two together, and we've come up with a pretty nice, respectful honorarium to our servicemen and the different services.
To keep something up and running like the museum here in Settlers Square takes a lot of time and a lot of money too. That's definitely, we're not going to tiptoe around that. Now, how has the Historical Society been able to kind of keep things going here, and what sort of events does the Society put on to kind of raise funds and promote awareness as well?
The Historical Society here is funded primarily from donations from the public. We also receive a stipend from the county board each year. And along with that, we have donations that come from some of the townships, some of the cities. We do some fundraising projects throughout the year that we run some raffles and so forth. We also have some endowment money that's been given to the museum, which, of course, we are able to use the proceeds from those. We run on a pretty tight budget, so we're very careful with our spending, and because we have to be.
As you kind of wind down your run at the museum here with the Historical Society, what have been some of your personal highlights as far as your time spent here, and what do you, as you look back on it?
I guess when I started here, I was on the board, so there was a number of things I thought was important, and we were extremely overcrowded in our present facility, and the board, recognizing that, we went on a project to fundraise and build a new building, which we completed and moved into in 2011. And the building is just about 10,000 square feet. We built the building totally on monies received from our endowment money, as well as from fundraising for the project.
Now, for the people who are listening today from out of the area and they want to find out more and they want to pay a visit to the museum, could you tell them again where that location of the museum in Settlers Square is?
It's real easy. If you just look for the Marshall County Fairgrounds, we are adjacent to them. So during the Marshall County Fair, we receive an awful lot of visits during that time for the fairgoers. So just simply looking in Warren, we are on the east end of Warren. You can also reach us through internet at mchs@wigtail.com, or our phone number is listed in the book too, so we'll guide you if you need to find your way.
You've been listening to Scrapbook, a Pioneer 90.1 original. This edition of Scrapbook was recorded at the Pioneer 90.1 studios, located on the campus of Northland Community and Technical College, Thief River Falls. Additional episodes and content from this and other Pioneer 90.1 original programs available at radionorthland.org. Scrapbook is made possible through the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.